This is Wade Rathke, and you're listening to Wade's World. It's Friday morning, 9 to 9:30 Central Standard Time in the United States, and your time for the voice of the people. Welcome to the east side of town so that we can talk about how the other half lives and what life is like living here in Wade's World, whether that's the east side of Little Rock, where KABF 88.3 is located, or the east side of New Orleans, where WAMF 90.3 is housed, or WDSV in Greenville, Mississippi, or acornradio.org live stream. Or whether we're in Nairobi, Bengaluru, Bristol, or Bombay, points east and west were either rebroadcast or live streamed at www.kvf.org. A podcast will be available of this show on Monday at that website. You know the story on Wade's World. We talk to the most interesting people in the world, and today we're talking to Luba Battenbergska, who is an activist and organizer from Sofia, Bulgaria, who's been spending a month working with us, and we're going to find out a lot more about what she's doing as a professional fellow in a program. It's actually sponsored by the State Department, isn't it, Luba?
Oh, yes, it's sponsored by the State Department, surprisingly for some people, maybe.
It was a surprise to me. Luba, welcome to Wade's World.
Thank you, Wade. How are you today?
I am fine. So, Bulgaria is not a country that probably a lot of our listeners even know where it is. So let's just start, give them some geography of where in the heck is Bulgaria?
You know, it's in Europe, in the end of Europe, near Greece, just we are neighbors with Greece, and let's say compared to the States, which is a pretty big country, let's say almost a continent, you can cross Bulgaria for 7 hours, driving, not walking.
You can drive from 7 hours?
Yes, from the border with Serbia and getting to Black Sea coast.
Serbia to the Black Sea, and what's to the... Okay, Greece is on one side, and what's to the north? Is that...
To the north is Romania.
Romania, okay.
Yes, which borders also with Russia and Ukraine and Moldova.
Okay. So, Bulgaria was part of the... During the Cold War, it was part of the
Soviet-dominated
area?
Yes, we were part of it, and... Like the rest of the country, the communist regime fell down in 1989, which is almost 30 years ago. But
wow,
you can still feel it.
Yeah, so. No, I bet. It seems like 30 years is a short time, but it's a very, it's a long time ago, but it's a short time when you talk about changing institutions. So, and what is Sofia? Is the largest city?
It's the largest city. It's a very, very diverse city. Like, you have a lot of old ancient history over there, so you can see Romani tombs, arenas, early Christian churches from 6th century and...
From the 6th century?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, so... And like, one of the things I like quite in Sofia is that like in 5 minutes walk you can have a Catholic, a Protestant church, a mosque, an Orthodox cathedral. So
it is very diverse, and the religions are very diverse. Now, is the diversity of the people, are a lot of people from Greece and Serbia and other places moving into Bulgaria, or is it mainly people who've just been there for generations?
It's mostly people who've been there for generations. Like, you have more people in Sofia, also lots of young people coming from the rest of Europe working in Sofia, because there is a lot of investment, new investments in the
foreign
city.
Foreign investment?
Yes.
And what kind of, is it industries?
Mostly
or commercial?
Commercial, software industry, call centers, like we have HP, SAP, like big software companies there.
But Bulgarian is not a common language in terms of what most people would think in English, but people speak a lot of English, obviously
people
you do.
People speak a lot of English and you can get on with them. So the Cyrillic is slightly a challenge because it's almost not used in the rest of the world, but it's not that hard.
But when you say that call centers are relocating, they're speaking in what language?
So that's the point. They're interested in people speaking international different languages.
Okay.
So, for example, if you speak Spanish, Japanese, you are pretty much welcome. Portuguese,
Hindi.
You can find a job. Exactly. That's my point.
And we spent some time the other day talking about unemployment. Actually, contrary to what I originally thought, unemployment's very low in Bulgaria.
The official unemployment is very low, and actually the youth unemployment is really low. But in terms of unemployment of people like around 40s, 50s, it's harder. Like it could be like 17% or 13%, it depends, you know.
But not for young people?
Not for young people. For young people it's like 13.
13%?
Yes, the average for the country.
But, okay, so that's actually high unemployment. I thought we were talking about something closer to 4% the other day.
Actually, it was almost 7%.
Oh, 7%, okay.
Yeah, but that depends.
Depends.
Actually, you
what?
Are correct. I mean, the 7% is the average rate for the country. 13 was specific percent for the young people between 25 and 35 years.
Right, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, but compared to Spain or Sicily or places like that, that's low unemployment, isn't
yes,
it, in Europe?
Yes, it is.
And Bulgaria is part of the European Union, isn't it?
Fortunately, we are.
And why do you say fortunately?
Okay, surprising. I know the European Union takes a lot of criticism, and I mean, there is huge bureaucracy and there is some alienation, but for us, like the European is the good cop.
The good cop, okay.
Yeah, so it really helps in terms of, you know, trying to fight the corruption. It brings more money that could be invested or not wisely.
Okay, gotcha.
So
corruption, that's a big issue?
It's a huge issue, like in all the countries, and our problem is that we have really tight links between people in politics, like members of parliament, members of government, and their businesses. And also we have a lot of ownership of media, which is concentrated in one person, which always gives problems.
Certainly that's an issue with Carlos Slim in Mexico and in Italy. I think that was a large part of Berlusconi's power. So you have that kind of issue in Bulgaria where
we
it's all...
We do have it, where it's all is concentrated. And the biggest problem is that we don't have judicial system who can deal with. Because in most of the country, once you get corruption, usually you have somebody in prison, although not...
Yeah, we can talk about Brazil now, I mean, where
yes.
There's huge investigations by special prosecutors,
mm-hmm.
But that's not possible in Bulgaria?
It's not possible in Bulgaria, no matter it's possible in Romania. They also had huge investigations against members of parliament, brother of ex-president.
Now, do they have immunity? Because I know that's an issue I read about in Brazil as well, whether or not a sitting parliamentarian has immunity.
Yes, they do have immunity, but this immunity, if you have a good case, I mean, the immunity falls down. The problem is that the prosecution, I mean, don't raise these cases. Or it raises, but never close it in order to keep the politicians under control.
And how does one become a prosecutor? Are you appointed by the government? Is it a separate election? Or
no, I mean, you apply to be a prosecutor. There are actually competitions about that, open calls, and this is the Judicial Supreme Council that makes the decisions.
Is there a constitutional court in Bulgaria as
there
well?
There is a constitutional court, yes.
What's the, you know, that's been confusing. I've had to learn this in places like Italy where, you know, you lose at one court. Oh, well, no, we just won in the constitutional court. And I'd be saying, but both of those are called the Supreme Court. I don't get it. So. What's the difference? In Poland, this was a big issue recently. The mm-hmm. Constitutional Court was saying one thing, and so how does this work?
Well, let's say like this, the constitutional court could be approached only by a certain number of people in the institutions, and you and me, like citizens, or okay, you're not Bulgarian citizens.
Yeah, but you know, for the sake of the radio yes. conversation, we'll pretend all yes. of us listeners, we're Bulgarians.
We are all Bulgarians now. Yes. Thank you for the support.
That's right.
So, we're not able to approach it, unfortunately. So, it's only the president, the ombudsman, 40 people, members of the parliament, and the government.
Because those are constitutional questions, I assume.
Yes, and then,
but you and I can bring things that would end up at the other Supreme Court? Or is that not?
Yes, that's exactly the difference. That could be the administrative Supreme Court, where you have, let's say, not in all the cases, but in most of the cases, you have better access to.
Gotcha. We're talking to Luba Batenberska, who's from Bulgaria, Sofia, Bulgaria, and as you can tell from the show so far, she's teaching at, we're all Bulgarians, she said, for a second here. Thanks for our support. But she's actually teaching us a little bit about how Bulgaria works. Now, talking about this corruption in the constitutional and the judicial system, there's been issues, there's been efforts to try to change that, haven't there, that we've heard about?
Yes, there are quite, like, the good thing in Bulgaria is that there is non-formal groups of people who are active already for 4 or 3 years who try to change the system.
And how's that working?
It's a terrible, but there is some ups and downs, like, for example, there is a formal movement called Justice for All, and yes, that's...
Okay, Justice for All.
That's name on that song of Metallica.
Oh, it's Metallica, is that their theme song, a Metallica song?
It's a Metallica song, well, that was a little bit a joke with the name, but...
Okay,
yes.
I got it, okay.
Yeah, so
now, is it called Justice for All in English, or is there a Bulgarian name that translates to Justice for All?
Pravosudie za vseki.
Okay, well, I know everybody's going to write that down, we'll just let that go. But Justice for All, for the sake of this conversation, we're all Bulgarians, we all speak English. Okay, so, and... There, you know, I know earlier this year, if people were watching things in Eastern Europe, there were huge demonstrations in Romania about corruption. Has that been some of what you've seen in Bulgaria as well? Were there big street protests?
Like 4 years ago, there have been really big street protests for 1.5 years, which was, and those were daily protests. That's quite a big thing. And people really wake up. I mean, they took the issues very seriously. So the response was that finally we got elections after financial crisis with one bank, to be honest.
Okay.
But still we got elections, we got some government,
Because the government fell, didn't it?
Yes, the government fell, the parliament got dismissed, so we got brand new elections by that time.
And then was there change, or
there was a little bit? There was a little bit of a change, like we have. And there was one of the positive changes were that judicial system, one of the core issues in Bulgaria. We got the possibility of judges and prosecutors to elect to vote directly and personally for their representatives within the Supreme Judicial Council. Actually, this is the institution that from which depends everything within the judicial system.
Okay.
So that's kind of good change. That
yeah.
Was. Yes.
Now let me understand this. They would be elected, no?
They are elected already, and we got a new judicial Supreme Court Council like from the beginning of October. Actually, they operate for 1 month almost.
So when you go back to Bulgaria, you're going to get to see how much change is really happening.
I can follow this on the media.
Yeah, you can. We have this thing called the internet. You're about to tell me about the internet. Okay, I hear you. Okay. I went old school for a second there, that you had to be on the ground, but I got it. Well, that's encouraging, but there's still, I gather from our conversations this month, there's still a lot that needs to be done, probably.
Yes, we have a new government and a new parliament because the one willing to make some changes has been dismissed too.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, I mean, they were actually the majority of the governmental coalition were not too keen to move forward, so they prefer to have new elections. So now we have a new majority with the populist parties and right-wing ones, and no reforms.
You know, it used to be in the United States that populism was a good thing. It meant that you were a political party that appealed to the common people. And in the late 19th century, 1896, the populist party organizing under William Jennings Bryan almost won the presidential election. But populist has come to have a bad meaning everywhere, doesn't it?
Actually, it does.
And isn't that a shame? So, when you say a populist, what does that speak to in Bulgaria? I mean, here are now populists. You have to worry about how they view women, how they do racial minorities, how they view immigrants. I mean, it's a very nativist. It's the world of President Trump. But how does that translate? How does populism translate in Bulgaria?
Quite similarly, like President.
How frightening is that?
Let me say that's quite frightening.
Quite frightening.
That's scary.
That is okay. Well, we go right down into it in Wage World. So, and the Roma is immigration an issue in Bulgaria? I know sometimes the condition of the Roma is an issue in all over Eastern Europe. People may have trouble understanding that. How does that work? Why is there discrimination against the Roma?
Discrimination is mostly against the Roma because, after the last war, the whole big immigration flow to Western Europe passed through Central one. About not many people stay here, mostly because the wages are lower and a lot of people have relatives in Western Europe. So the immigration is not that much an issue. About Roma communities, and there is a lot of segregation towards Roma communities and a lot of actually pretty negative prejudices towards them. So it's the issues are related with poverty, with structural actually poverty for some groups within Roma communities who, like in the case of Bulgaria, they live in segregated neighborhoods where there is poor access to education, a very high unemployment rate, and this, repeats for generations, so we have a vicious circle, what we call.
And the Roma are more popularly known to some people as gypsies, right?
Yes.
Right, but it's Roma is the preferable term. And do they have voting rights? Are they citizens in Bulgaria?
They are citizens, and they have been living for centuries in Bulgaria. Bulgaria has been part of Ottoman Empire, which wasn't that, by the time of Inquisition in Spain and France. The Ottoman Empire was much more, let's say, liberal to the different minority groups. So we have, by that time, a big Jewish community who came in Bulgaria also. I mean, the Bulgarians have been part of the Ottoman Empire, so we didn't get many rights.
So the Ottoman Empire, we're going old school, way back here, was Bulgaria, Romania, Turkey was part of the Ottoman Empire, wasn't it?
Yeah, actually Turkey was the empire states, the governing...
The headquarters.
The headquarters, thank
you. The headquarters, right. They were the Washington, D.C. of the Ottoman Empire, right.
Yeah.
And
My point is that actually Roma community lived in Bulgaria for centuries.
Right.
Yes.
But yet still faces discrimination.
Yeah, still faces.
Unfortunately, that's a problem we have here with people that have lived here for centuries as well. So we're not throwing bricks at a glass window in Bulgaria, but that's. And how large is the Roma population in Bulgaria?
It is, considered to be around 500,000 people.
500,000 out of, I think,
out
7 million
of,
is the population. So
yes.
Less than
10%.
Yeah, less than 10%, but still not insignificant. Okay, well, we all have issues. We're talking to Luba Batenberska, who's from Bulgaria, an activist, organizer, works for a social services NGO over there and is part of a State Department program called Professional Fellows. So, Luba, Tell us a little bit about the country. I know you've also been involved. Environment is a big issue for many people in Bulgaria. Why is that? Are they worried? Is Bulgaria a pretty country? I've never been there.
It's quite a beautiful country. So, you know, you get like mountains, valley, coast, Black Sea coast, and we have quite different mountains. Also, the Balkans. This is the biggest mountain chain within the Balkan Peninsula.
Okay.
So it starts from Black Sea coast, and it goes all across the country. So, if you're a fan of mountain tourism, so Bulgaria is quite a place for you, especially in the summer.
There you go. So Bulgaria is sort of the Colorado of Eastern Europe.
And people are really proud with the nature. And also, because you asked me whether the environment is an issue, yes, it is, because this was the area where corruption was quite visible for many years, and there were a lot of active green organizations.
Because of the extraction of resources, or
because of the extraction of resources, but mostly because of overconstruction and overdevelopment.
Oh, okay.
So
without regulations.
Without keeping the regulations.
Without obeying the regulations. Yes, gotcha. Okay. That's why you need a good cop like the EU, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. But the Black Sea. I mean, most people in the U.S. might have seen pictures of people from Russia going down to a beach on the summertime or whatever, but what's the Black Sea like in Bulgaria?
Well, it's like really a lot of Russian, German and British tourists. So, and if you have heard about Spain and the overconstructed Spanish coast, so we have the similar situation with the Bulgarian one.
And I think you were telling me about some group that's been trying to protect 4 or 5 kilometers of the coast, which is still undeveloped.
Yes,
has that been a long campaign?
That has been quite a long campaign, like already for three years, pretty much active campaign. And our case is still, you know, is still pending. We got a lot of victories, like we stopped the constructions, we proved everything which is illegal that it is. But there are some, that's the law in Bulgaria, there are some, let's say, documents that no matter that are illegal according to the court are still into force, so there is nothing we can do about that.
Gotcha.
That's why we take different strategy.
Well, that's why people are still talking about what to do about the coast and whether you can protect that sort of last pristine piece.
Yeah, actually, this is the only one piece where is no construction around.
Well, let's hope that works out well. You've also been telling me about a new law that has to do with education.
We do have a new law on education. And
what does that involve?
Well, actually, it already pays quite attention on how the school should develop skills of kids, you know, for critical thinking, for information, how can they manage in life afterwards. It also try to get a little bit more the parents into the education and the school to open up the system.
Gotcha. So a big issue in the United States is sort of teaching to the test. Is there a rigid testing regime in the new act, or is it really as good as you're saying?
There is some teaching testing regime, but you know, it's like the new act is just about to be implemented, and what we saw so far that, you know, they try to keep the system as close as is possible the old way as it was.
So there are some, but some of these changes seem very positive, and they're involving parents more. How does that work? Because that's something we always need.
You know, the tricky thing is always the implementation, so now they...
Proof is in the pudding, we say in English.
Okay. So they try to make parents, teachers, councils for each school, but there was, let's say, a letter from the Ministry of Education that this should happen within 1 month. So you know, once you have 1 month, then you simply do the things on paper and don't care much about do you get the people in or
now. Parent teachers organizations, PTAs, PTOs, some of them call them PTAs, parent teacher associations, are very common in the United States, and that's it's a non-profit group, usually some parents, some teachers, a lot of money raising, they meet every month. Is that something similar, you think? Or
the idea is similar, quite similar.
Similar. Yeah. Okay. Because certainly PTAs, they may have originally had more input in curriculum and governance, but not so much anymore in the U.S. They tend to run annual school fair and, you know, raising money for a computer and stuff like that. So that's a warning. You want to make sure you get something better from those groups than we have, huh?
You don't have any guarantee, you know?
No, there are no spoken like a true
and
organizer.
And devil is in details.
The devil is in the details, spoken like a true organizer. So what kind of a city is Sofia? That's where you live, right? Were you raised in Sofia? Have you always lived there?
I'm raised in another city, it's called Ruse, it's on Danube border river, just next to Romania, so I have relatives in Romania too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I live in Sofia, and it's, what I can recommend is really like just go out, meet the people, enjoy the underground music, the nightlife. You know, in Bulgaria we are quite a southern culture, so for us it's common to go out, to talk, to meet the people, to have dinner, to have a drink. And that's what most of the people like.
Well, that sounds fun, doesn't it?
It is fun.
It is fun, but
is.
Unfortunately, probably have to speak Bulgarian to really get the full enjoyment, no?
You can manage with your English too.
You can manage with English. Now, is English a common subject in school? Because your English is
it is.
And did your English come from traveling extensively or from school?
It comes mostly from work. I call it international English.
International English, I like
and
that.
And I'm glad I can practice a real one here. Apparently I need more time.
Apparently. So what have you seen in the United States as part of this program? Obviously New Orleans this month, but
I saw New Orleans and Toledo, and I've been also in Lake Charlestown.
Right.
So, you know,
in Baton Rouge, I think you've been to
Yes,
Saint
I've been
Louisiana.
In Baton Rouge for a couple of hours. I talked to some people there.
And you'll be going to Washington, D.C. next?
Yes, for 1 week to finish the training and to take part in one event organized by the State Department.
So most good luck there, because most of us these days are afraid to go to Washington, D.C. So do you use Twitter?
I don't use Twitter, but I am on Facebook.
Okay, but if you don't use Twitter, you may be safe.
You know, it's you who was talking about the thing called internet, so Twitter news goes all over the internet.
Yes, so. It is. This internet's a scary thing, and I think we're finding that out in the congressional hearings now, too. So, Bulgaria, we've learned a lot about Eastern Europe. One of the books I read about Bulgaria said that a lot of people are buying land for second homes to move from Manchester and England, and there's a lot of people who come from Greece because labor costs are cheaper. Is that something you're seeing a lot of foreign investment now?
Yes, it is like, you know, Bulgaria is a pretty country, and there is a lot of people mostly from Britain, who come there, buy some land in order to retire or just to have a place to go for ski vacation in the winter. So for ski vacation.
Oh, they're actually coming there in the winter. I think that's a brave bunch of British people then.
I agree with you.
That's right, because what you told me about the winter, it's nothing pretty. Luba, if people wanted to know more about Bulgaria and your work, is there any website you could suggest, or your organization, or how would people, if they wanted to continue this conversation with you about what's happening and organizing in Bulgaria, is there a way to do that?
They can check on Facebook SIGA, which is abbreviation of Creating Effective Grassroots Alternatives.
Okay, repeat that.
CEGA. C-E-G-A.
C-E-G-A.
Yes,
okay.
they can check us on Facebook, and also they can check karadere.info. Karadere, this is the website of that only one unconstructed area remained on Black Sea coast.
Oh, the area in Black Sea. How do you
yes.
spell that?
Kara, R-A-D-R.
R-A-D-R.
D-E-R-E, Dere.
D-E-R-E, yeah.
Which means Black River.
Black River. It makes
yes.
sense to learn about that. Okay, well, this has been a pleasure, and we want to hear more
pleasure
about this.
Mine.
We are talking about Luba doing a regular show with us, so we may hear more of her reports, but those may be in Bulgarian. This has been Wade's World for another week, the world where the other half lives, where we talk about things you've never heard, and as Lucinda Williams sang, things you've never seen and will never forget. As the song goes, we say it loud, we say it on the air, we say it on the radio. Until next week when we have another guest, this is Wade Rathke from Wade's World.